Let's see, I think it was in 2014. We got here one Sunday and didn't have anybody speak. Didn't have anybody lead singing. So I volunteered. I really didn't speak. I read something. I think John led the singing. We had a very few crowd, maybe 3/4 of what we got this morning. But in any event, I had wanted for some time to do this reading again. So this morning's going to be a little bit different. A lot of it is going to be reading. I would imagine that every adult in here has read the Gospels. And probably every adult in here has studied one or more of the Gospels. What is the Gospel, the Gospels? What's it about? Somebody tell me. That's part of it. Death, burial, resurrection, Jesus. What else? Is it not just about the life of Jesus? From his birth to his death, his resurrection, and his return to the Father. You know, although these writers of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all write about the story of Jesus, each one tells it a little bit differently because they're individuals. Matthew's gospel, he's telling the story through the eyes of a Jew to Jews. That's why he starts off with the lineage of Christ, or we would call it the family tree. Because it was very important to the Jewish nation that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. Most of us already know that. This would fulfill at least one of the prophecies about the Messiah. The lineage or family tree is given in Matthew and in Luke. In Matthew, the account gives the lineage through Joseph. In Luke, it gives the lineage through Mary. So it doesn't make any difference which parent, Joseph, Mary, the lineage goes back to David. And again, that fulfilled the prophecy. And again, remember that Matthew is talking to Jews. That's his audience. So he wants them to know that this Jesus that came from the lineage of David. Mark was not an apostle, and he does not emphasize the sayings of Jesus as much as the other Gospels. His Gospel is the shortest, but the most action-packed. His account includes many of the miracles, so he had another idea that he wanted to go with, and that was the miracles. So you get more miracles, I think, in Mark than in any of the other Gospels. And Mark and Luke, who did not go along with Jesus during his lifetime, probably got their information from the other apostles and other people that were involved, such as Mary. That's how they came up with their gospel interviews. Luke, who is not an apostle, was a physician. I think Luke is long-winded. His is the longest gospel of all. His is the most detailed gospel of them all. His idea is that Jesus is the remedy for the world's ills. He emphasizes his perfect humility and human concern for the weak, suffering, and the outcast. And his gospel includes some things not found in the other gospels. For instance, the Magi, the story of what we call the three wise men, is not found in Matthew. By the way, only two of them tell the story of the birth. That is Matthew and Luke. John's gospel is unlike any other of the gospels. In fact, the first section of John, to me, is poetry. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. I mean, the way he puts those words together is just beautiful. And John's idea, or the reason he wrote the gospel, was to show that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah, but that he was also the Messiah in physical form. So his whole gospel, that's his focus. I don't know what picture you draw of Jesus when you read the Gospels. Probably everyone looks at Jesus a little bit different, just like these writers looked at Jesus a little bit different. So I'm not sure how you see Jesus when you read the Gospels. What I want to do this morning is show you how I see Jesus by looking at the Gospels. It was the media event of all media events at a time when there were no radios, television, or internet. There were sound effects, a light show, and magic. All the things you would need to draw a crowd, and draw a crowd it did. It had begun 3 years before with a young man. He was an ordinary looking man, but he was not an ordinary man at all. He was a preacher, a teacher, who had a charisma about him that drew people like bees to honey. He was a young man who gathered about him 12 men from different and diverse backgrounds. Some were educated, some were not. And several were fishermen. There were a couple who were brothers. One was a tax collector. One was a thief. They were a close-knit group that followed him from city to city for over 3 years, forsaking their families and their businesses. They were drawn by the words he spoke, the really far-out things he did, and because he said he was the Son of God, the Messiah they had been waiting for. He was called Jesus, the son of a carpenter. His mother's name was Mary, and he grew up in a small town called Nazareth. He was like most boys his age, good-natured, fun to be with, someone you would want to be your best friend. He was liked by everyone, even his brothers and sisters. A good boy who never caused his parents any trouble, except that time he got left behind in Jerusalem. Even that time, you couldn't say that he was bad. It was just one of those things that happened. There was one thing different about him. Even from the time he was a youngster, he seemed to have closer relationship with God than most anybody else. It was almost like he knew God personally. His life was no different than most until the age of about 30. It was at the wedding of a close friend of the family that it happened. The party had gone on for some time, in fact, quite a while. They had even run out of wine. His mother, who was helping the bride's family with the party, instructed the servants to do whatever he told them. His instructions were simple, though they didn't make a lot of sense. Fill several large containers with water, You can imagine their surprise when the water in the pitcher turned out to be wine. And not just any old wine, but some of the best wine they had ever drank. That was the beginning of a three-year period that turned the world upside down. It was the beginning of things never seen before. Things done by this young man in the next 3 years would be hard to believe if not seen by your own eyes, and even when seen, sometimes still not believed. Blind men made to see, lame made to walk, lepers made whole, control of the weather, even the dead brought back to life. If the things he did were not enough to get your attention, there was the man himself. You could see he was a man who loved mankind. He was a man at peace with himself. He had something you wanted, something you needed, and when he spoke, you had to listen. Even if he was speaking to thousands, he was still speaking to you. Yet, he was not above you. You could tell no matter what he said, he was still a man just like you. He was someone who could enjoy the pleasure of a meal with friends, a party, or just sitting around and talking. Not like the other so-called religious people who thought themselves better than you. And the things he said were not like anything you had heard before. He didn't preach rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. He spoke of love. Love for one another. Caring about your family and friends. Caring for those less fortunate than you. Loving God because God loved you. Not religion out of fear, but worship out of love. He made you see God in a new light. Yet there were those that didn't see this love. They were blinded by their own self-importance and by their own greed. Afraid of losing the authority they held over others, they would do anything, go to any lengths, pay whatever the price it took to destroy this man of love. At first, they simply tried to make him look bad. If they could discredit him, the people would lose confidence and would no longer follow him. So they asked him trick questions or accused him of breaking the law. There was the time they caught the woman in adultery. If they could get him to say she should be stoned, as the law allowed, they would get him in trouble with the Roman government. Instead of answering as they expected, he made them feel guilty. On another occasion, they accused him of breaking the law by healing on the Sabbath, which they considered work. He showed they didn't understand the law. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They might have let him get away with a lot of things, but when he interfered with their business, something had to be done, even if it called for drastic actions, even if he had to die. But it would have to be done carefully because they were afraid of the people. Finally, it fell altogether. It was almost as if fate was on their side, and it came from such an unexpected person. It came from one of his followers. They could see things falling into place, and for such a small amount, 30 pieces of silver. It was so easy. Judas brought them to him when there was no crowd around, and he didn't even resist. Then there was the secret and illegal trial, the audience before Pilate, and finally crucifixion. Their problems were over. The troublemaker was dead. But as it sometimes happened, things didn't go as planned. 3 days after the crucifixion, the body was missing. Not only was the body missing, but the guards were telling a remarkable story. They said an angel rolled the stone away, and people were saying they had seen him. Things had been bad before, but now they were worse. What they had heard was in fact true. He had risen from the dead, and he had talked to his followers on several occasions. He told them he would be leaving shortly to return to the Father in heaven, but they were not to be worried. He was sending someone to take his place, someone he called the Spirit of God. He told them to wait in Jerusalem, so that is what they did. They waited and prayed. And then it happened. Started with sound like wind, but not a gentle breeze. It was loud, louder than any wind they had ever heard. And they didn't just hear it. Thousands heard it and were drawn to where it came from. Next came the light show. It looked like fire, which split up and came to rest over each person. It was like they had been placed in a spotlight. And then the magic show. Everyone's talking at once, but not like normal. This was different because it didn't matter where you were from. You understood what he said in your own language. And when the man Peter began to speak, you were ready to listen. When he began to tell the story of Jesus, how could you not believe? When you realized what had been done, how could you not help but feel sorry? How could you not feel guilty? That was the beginning of something wonderful. It was the beginning of hope. Hope freely given to all. Something simple. Believe that Jesus was God's Son, then wash away your sins. You know, there are many stories we can draw from the Gospels. I liked what Chris had to say when he spoke before the Lord's Supper and the way that Jesus acted towards others. You can get that message out of the Gospels. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, and there was a thought, and I've said it before, but it bothers me that we as Christians come here to worship. We read the Scriptures, we study the Scriptures, we know what they say, and yet when situations come up, we fail to put them in action. Okay? If you look at the life of Jesus, he always put it in action. That's what we should be doing. It's, yes, we are the light of the world. Okay? They see or should see the reflection of Jesus in you. That's what they should see. There are two things that I'm going to discuss real shortly. Number one, Jesus was God's Son who came in the flesh to die for our sins. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all times one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ came to this earth. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and Jesus rose. In that is our salvation. Two, the second thing, Jesus intended upon his return to heaven that there be a church. This was the reason he spent 3 years training 12 men. Men who would take the gospel to the world and establish the church. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't think the world understands how important the church is, the body of Christ. You know, I meet people all the time that they just don't have a concept of that. And they might be good people, okay? I had breakfast with a man, and he's a good guy. He really is. You talk about getting the shirt off your back, he would do it. Okay, he would do that. And yet, he sees no reason to attend a worship service. He sees no reason for the church. Now, the reason for the church is because, well, a lot of reasons, but one thing is we need a support system. You can't get the support system that we have in this body of Christ outside in the world. You just can't do it. And another thing, obviously, is that we come together and we worship. We build each other up, okay, which is what the Scripture tells us to do. We're to be I can't think of it right now. There's a verse I've been trying to memorize, but it says that we are to, in essence, build each other up all the more as we see the day approaching. In other words, Christ coming back. So you can only get that in the body. So I think that the church is very, very important. The question is, are you a member of this body, which we call the church? Well, probably every adult here is a member of the Lord's body. Are you ready to meet Christ if he returns today? It's another question. Are you? I don't know. You have to answer that one yourself. Is your name written in the book of life? I hope so. If not, you need to do something about it. And delay is not an option. You're not promised another day. We have a nephew who was 63 years old. Saturday afternoon, he was on the golf course, 8 to tee, somewhere up in Springfield. I don't know what the name of the golf course was. He teed off, collapsed, and died. He didn't know he was going to die on the 8th tee of that golf course when he went out there. Had absolutely no idea. See, we're not promised the next day. We're not promised the next minute as far as that goes. A few weeks ago, I was had an experience. Went to Opryland to eat with some people. Got out there and I was feeling terrible. I said, can't do this, Minerva. We got to go home. Okay, so she said, you want to drive? Now, I don't like my wife driving, okay? She scares me. But I felt so bad that I said, yeah, you can drive. When we got to Hendersonville, I said oh, we had gone the long way because we knew there was a wreck on the interstate. So when we got to Hendersonville, I said, you need to get on to Vietnam and just go ahead to the emergency room. Now, it turned out I spent two days in the hospital, and they run every test in the world on me, but they said they didn't find anything that they didn't already know. But, you know, the deal good was that it didn't have to turn out that way. I've had two heart attacks. So I don't know what will happen tomorrow or the next day, but we need to be ready. I know this was unusual because most of what I said was the reading, but I wrote that a number of years ago, and I wanted to share it with my Christian brothers and sisters here at Echo Hills, but the time I shared it, there wasn't anybody here, so I said I'll do it again. If you've got a need, and maybe you've got a need, it doesn't, you know, like I say, probably all the adults here are members of the Lord's body, but you might have a need, and I always say, if you don't tell me what's wrong with you, I can't pray for you. I can't pray for you if you don't tell me. If you're going to keep it a secret, I can't pray for you. So if you've got a need and you feel like you need the church to pray for you, you need to come forward. I had a need the other day, and I called up one of my brothers in Christ, and I said, I've got a problem. It's been worrying me. I want you to pray with me. We did, right there over the phone. So if there's anything you need, come forward as David leads us in a song.
Music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise you. I will pray.
Couple things. One, no reach classes tonight. Adult classes, no adult classes tonight. So we are off tonight. Second thing is, I know that we had the camp for our youth this past week. Everything seemed to, I was there a couple days. I wasn't there the whole time. Before I was there, it looked like it went very well. So I'm sure there'll be more to follow on that on Sundays to come. But our summer camp always seems to be the highlight of the summer. So day camp's coming up soon, right? Do we have any more camps coming? Okay. So if you didn't hear Dave, it's mission trip coming up in a couple weeks and then 2 weeks of day camp. So busy summer. No. Any other announcements? Anything else that we need to discuss? Yes, sir. Oh, Matt's mom.
Matt's back in town.
Okay. If you're not aware, Matt Johnson's mother passed away over this past week, so I know that he had left to go there, and then you say he's back in town now. Come. Other announcements? So, I'm sorry. Yeah. My family always gets on me about it because no matter how I give announcements about tomorrow night, they always seem to say I say something wrong. So, I'm going to try it again. I'm sure I'm wrong. So if you want to call the house and get the real answers, I guess, please do. But I'm going to try it again. Tomorrow night, we are having our 4th of July party at our house. Our address, for those of you who may not know, 1262 12 Stones Crossing. That's in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. 1262 12 Stones Crossing. So I'm going to try this. We're going to eat somewhere in the 7-ish range. Okay? All right. Fireworks, if the weather holds out, is going to be in the 9-ish range. And then there is, if you would like to come swim earlier than dinner, that's going to be between the 3-ish to 4-ish range that you're welcome to come over. So, yes, I'm hedging my bets on all of this.
So we can get there at 10 a.m.
If you get there, yes, you can actually. Because there are some things I would certainly have you do at that point. So, yes. If you come before 3, instead of bringing a bathing suit, bring, cleaning supplies and, lawnmower. No, that's, actually, I took off. I have that done. So, a lot of people have asked me what to bring. Hey, you know what? We're going to be grilling and cooking all the meats and stuff. If you want to bring a side dish, great. If you want to bring drinks, great. If you want to bring dessert, great. Whatever. It's pretty much open, but it'll be your typical 4th of July night. Hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken, whatever else we can dream up that we can throw on a grill. So, pretty much that'll be it. The main thing is that if you come right around 8 o'clock or after 8 for whatever reason, the main road in front of Moss Wright named Caldwell will be closed. So you cannot come into our main entrance that way, go down Long Hollow Pike and come up Willis Branch Road. You can still get to the house if you come in that way. But if you get there at 8, there's going to be a lot of food already gone, so 7-ish. So. Any questions over that? Hannah, was that anywhere close to right? Okay, all right. So, Mom? Okay, all right. Kim's out here to check with right now, so. Oh, we're going to do the pineapples. Yeah, we'll make sure the pineapples are there. So that's the highlight of the night for me, too. So anything else? Anybody else we need to mention? Still on baby watch. Okay.
Yeah, they said they have to run to the hospital to test the stress test objects. So that's what they were like. You so don't get excited and have baby.
No baby yet. Okay. So you know the baby's going to fool around and wait till tomorrow. Just, yeah, 4th of July. Born on the 4th of July. So we can have all the jokes and all that. So, anything else? Will you bow with me before we close? Father in heaven, we realize of all the things that we should be thankful for. And Father, we know that grace is one that we are most thankful for, because none of us have any opportunity to know you except through your grace.